19. 1 Kings chapter 19, and we will begin at verse 19. All right, so we're in the Old Testament this morning, and we're going to start out in 1 Kings chapter 19, and we'll eventually work our way over to 2 Kings, but again, starting out in 1 Kings chapter 19. All right, 1 Kings chapter 19. This past Wednesday, Olivia's class performed at chapel, and so I went to see them put on the chapel service, and afterwards, I was walking with Kim's class. My wife Kim teaches at the school, and so I was walking with her class, and one little girl in her class, she had a very serious question for me, a very sincere question for me. She knew that Kim and I were connected somehow. She didn't exactly know how. And so again, this little kindergarten kid, I mean, she was serious, she was sincere. She asked me, "Are you Miss Kim's dad?" I'm like, "You gotta be kidding me." But she was, it was a serious question. Again, she was very sincere about it. Here's my point. I got a serious question that I want us to think about this morning. Very serious question. Are we stepping up to do the Lord's work? Are we stepping up to do the Lord's work? Today, we're beginning a new sermon series on the life and ministry of Elisha. And today, we're going to talk about how Elisha got started in ministry, how he got started doing the Lord's work. And what we're going to see this morning is that Elisha, man, he stepped up. All right, he stepped up to do the work of God. Think of it like this. Last season, before the NFL kicked off their regular season games, the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, Tony Romo, got hurt. He hurt his back and was going to be out 8 to 10 weeks. And their backup quarterback was a rookie from Mississippi State University, Dak Prescott. And all of a sudden, he's the starting quarterback. All right, so he had to step up. All right, he had to lead the team. He had to be their quarterback. And he stepped up. He led the Cowboys to a 13-3 record. He stepped up. All right, well, that's what we're going to see with Elisha today. He stepped up to do the work of God. Now, let me kind of give you the backstory of Elisha, all right? And to get his backstory, we got to start with the prophet that came before Elisha. And the prophet that came before Elisha was Elijah, all right? It gets confusing, all right? It gets real confusing. We've got an Elisha with an S, that's who we're talking about in this series, but we've also got an Elijah with a J, all right? And we're going to see both of these guys in the story that we're talking about today. Again, it gets a little confusing, all right? But let's talk about Elijah with a J for just a second. Now, Elijah was probably the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. And God called Elijah to confront, not comfort. And most notably, Elijah was called to confront the sin and idolatry of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Now, the high point for Elijah's ministry came on the showdown on Mount Carmel with the 450 prophets of Baal. All right, here's what the showdown involved. The 450 prophets of Baal, they had their altar. All right, Elijah had his altar, and whichever God sent fire from heaven would win the day and be the one true God. So up first were the 450 prophets of Baal. They did everything they could think of to summon Baal and get him to send fire from heaven. But no matter what they tried, it didn't work. And of course, fire didn't come from heaven. So Elijah, it's his turn in the showdown. So what Elijah does, he digs a trench around his altar. He fills it with water. He soaks the wood of his altar, and then he prays. And as soon as Elijah starts praying, God sends fire from heaven. It consumes his altar. The people start worshiping God, and Elijah goes out and kills the 450 prophets of Baal. All right, it was the high point in his ministry. The low point in Elijah's ministry came just a little while later. Queen Jezebel got word of what Elijah had done to her prophets. And so in her fury, Queen Jezebel said, "Hey, I want Elijah dead." Well, never mind that God had just done this great work in Elijah's life. All right, never mind he had just sent fire from heaven to consume the altar. Never mind all that. You know what Elijah did? He ran in fear. And he was down, he was discouraged, he was throwing a pity party for himself. And look what happens here in 2 Kings 19. Look at verse 10 real quick. Just look at verse 10, what happens. And God says to him in verse 9, "Elijah, what are you doing here? Why are you running?" And this is what Elijah says in verse 10. And he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." So Elijah, he feels that he is all alone. He feels that he has been the only one faithful to God. Elijah feels that he is the only one who has stepped up and is serving God. But what God reveals to Elijah is that there's others who had been faithful. There were others who were ready to step up and do God's work. And one of the ones who had been faithful, one of the ones who was ready to step up and do God's work, was Elisha. All right? So what we're going to see this morning is how Elijah stepped up to do God's work. All right? So let's go ahead and read our primary passage for today. Why don't you go ahead and stand for the reading of God's word? We're going to read 1 Kings chapter 19. Verses 19 through 21. All right, so he, and that's referring to Elijah, departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done for you?" Verse 21, so Elijah turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. You may be seated. So, the theme for today, Elisha, he stepped up to do God's work. And again, the question that I want us, the very serious question that I want us to think about this morning, are we stepping up to do God's work? Two things we want to see this morning. If you got your worship folder, there's some sermon notes in there. Two things we want to talk about this morning. Number one, we want to talk about the appointment of Elisha. All right, so point number one, the appointment of Elisha. All right, the appointment of Elisha. Make sure you got it. We're going to talk about his calling, all right, how God appointed him. So there was this young farmer, and he's standing in his field one day, and he observes an unusual cloud formation. The clouds form the letters that I'm about to put up on the wall. All right? So this farmer, he's looking up in the sky, and the sky spells out these three letters, G-P-C. Well, this young farmer, he interprets the letters as go preach Christ. And so, I mean, he's all gung-ho. Man, God has revealed it in the sky, GPC, go preach Christ. And so he immediately runs to his church. He talks to the deacons. He tells them about his calling. And, you know, the deacons didn't want to just pour cold water on him. And so they agreed to let him preach the next Sunday. So the young farmer, next Sunday rolls around. The young farmer gets up to preach. And look, it was a rough sermon. It was long. The young farmer, he didn't make any sense. Nobody could understand really the point of the sermon. And so afterwards, the deacons are sitting with the young would-be preacher, and man, they're just sitting in silence. And finally, one of the older deacons said, "Son, I don't think GPC stands for Go Preach Christ. I think it stands for Go Plant Corn." So, we want to talk about the calling of Elisha, all right? How did God appoint him? How did God call him? Well, look at verse 19 again, all right? Look at verse 19. "So he, Elijah, departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him." And so Elisha, he's a farmer. All right, and he's out with his oxen, and he's plowing the field. And Elijah runs up to Elisha and throws his mantle over him. All right, now in verse 19, you might want to underline or circle that word mantle. All right, it's really important, and it becomes really important in our discussion today. All right, now, a mantle was a robe, cape, a loose-fitting tunic worn as an outer garment. All right, when I think of a mantle, I think of the Jedi in Star Wars. All right, I'm just being honest with you. That's what I think of. All right, the Jedi, they always wore those long robes. All right, well, in the Old Testament, all right, the prophets always wore their robes. They always wore a mantle. All right. And we can go to the next slide. So what Elijah done, he throws his mantle over Elisha. Now, there's powerful symbolism there. All right? And when Elijah threw his mantle over Elisha, Elisha was being called to be a prophet. All right? He was being called, appointed to be a prophet, all right? That's the symbolism there, all right? And Elisha understands the symbolism, all right? He understands that Elijah has just thrown his mantle over him. He realizes that he is being called, he's being appointed to be a prophet, and so he immediately runs after Elijah. And look at the request in verse 20. Look at the request in verse 20. "And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you.' And then notice what Elijah said. And he said to him, 'Go back, for what have I done to you?'" You notice that phrase, "What have I done to you?" In other words, Elijah is saying to Elisha, "Look, I haven't called you to be a prophet. God has called you. God has appointed you to be a prophet." All right, so Elijah's calling, his appointment, it was from God. And I want you to see what happens next. Look at verse 21. So Elijah turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment, gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. So Elijah, he goes back, and he slaughters his oxen. He burns the plowing equipment. Now again, there's powerful symbolism there. In burning the plow equipment and slaughtering his oxen, Elisha is surrendering to God's call. He's making a clean break from his past. He's saying, hey God, nothing is going to hold me back from doing your work. All right, so Elisha, as he slaughters the animals, as he burns the plow, he is surrendering to God's call. And if you notice there at the end of verse 21, Elisha didn't start as the main gig. All right, he didn't start off as the number one prophet. What did he start out as? A servant. All right, and what we're going to see in the coming weeks is that Elisha had a unique call on his life. All right, even though Elijah and Elisha shared the same office as a prophet, their calling, their work was very different. All right, just a second ago, we said that Elijah, he was called to confront, not comfort. And in a lot of ways, for Elisha, it was the exact opposite. He was primarily called to confront, to comfort, not confront. Now look, there are times that Elisha confronted sin, confronted evil, but most of the time when you read about Elisha, he is comforting those in need. He is showing God's compassion to those who are hurting. All right, so Elisha had a unique call on his life, and what we see here is that Elisha, he's stepping up. He's stepping up to do the Lord's work. Now, what does all this mean for us? All right, what does all this mean for us? Well, just like God called Elisha, God has called each of us. All right, God has called each of us to share the story of Jesus with lost people. Look at a verse in your sermon notes. We'll also put them up on the wall. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Look at these two verses. And he told them, Jesus, these are the words of Christ. You know, if you were to look these words up in the Bible, that in your Bible, they'd be in red. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. All right, so God has called us. God has called us to share Jesus with lost people. God has also called us, each of us, to serve in some type of ministry. Look at another verse in your sermon notes, 1 Peter 4:10. All right, this verse is in your sermon notes. It's up on the wall as well. As each one has received a special gift, and employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All right, so God has called each of us. We're called to share Jesus with lost people. We're called to serve in some type of ministry within the church. All right? And look, our calling, it's unique for us. And it's different for all of us. You know, not everyone is called to be a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. You know, God calls some people to cook breakfast for the men on Sunday mornings. God calls some people to deliver meals to the homebound. All right, God calls some of us to be involved in children youth, senior adult, our music ministry. Our calling is unique. It's different for each of us. God has also put people in our lives. And we have a unique opportunity to share Jesus with them. And the people that God has put in your life, they're your friends. They're your family members. They're your neighbors. They're the people that you work with. And, you know, the people in your life, and if I tried to share Jesus with them, I couldn't get nearly as far as you could. All right? God has put people in our lives, and we have the unique opportunity to share Jesus with them. Elisha, he stepped up. He was willing to do God's work. And I want to ask you again, are we stepping up? Are we stepping up to do God's work? You know, Elijah, he surrendered everything to God. He held nothing back. Nothing was going to hold him back from doing God's work. And I want to ask you, have you surrendered to God's call, to God's appointment on your life? And if you hadn't surrendered, what's holding you back? Elisha, he stepped up to do God's work. Are we doing the same? Are we stepping up to do God's work? Let's move on. All right, point number two. Let's talk about the anointing of Elisha. All right, so point number two, the anointing of Elisha. So we looked at his appointment, his call. Now let's talk about how he was anointed. Now, to see this, we got to go to 1 Kings chapter 2. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 2, and we're going to start out at verse number 1. All right, so 2 Kings chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse number 1. Look at verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now, verse 1 is telling us that, hey, pay careful attention to what happens in this chapter. Something big is going to happen. Something huge is going to happen. Elijah is going to be taken alive into heaven by a whirlwind. All right, one commentator put it like this. Elijah's last day on earth and his ascension into heaven is one of the most astounding and dramatic stories in all of Scripture. Scripture immediately says that Elijah was to leave this earth and he was to leave in a spectacular fashion. He was not to experience death. Instead, he would be dramatically swept up alive into heaven by a whirlwind. All right, so something dramatic is going to happen in this chapter. Elijah is going to be taken up by a whirlwind into heaven. And as this unfolds, I want us to see what happens with Elisha. All right, so go to verse number 9. All right, we're still in 2 Kings chapter 2. Go to verse number 9 and look at this. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I may do for you before I am taken from you." So Elijah, he's asking Elisha, "Hey, I'm about to go. I'm about to be taken away from you. What can I do for you?" Think of it like this. On April 12, 1945, Harry Truman received a message asking him to come quickly and quietly to the White House. Truman left immediately, thinking the president had some special job for him. To his surprise, when he arrived, he was ushered into Miss Roosevelt's sitting room. She got up, put her arm on his shoulder, and said, "Harry, the president is dead." Truman was stunned. In a few minutes, he would be sworn in as the next president of the United States, and he had no words. And after a few minutes of silence, all he could muster is, "Miss Roosevelt, what can I do for you?" Miss Roosevelt said to Harry Truman, "No, Harry, is there anything we can do for you? You're the one in trouble now." Right? That's kind of what it was with Elisha here. I mean, he's about to be the number one prophet on God's team, all right? The burden is about to be on him. And Elijah is saying, "Hey, is there anything I can do for you?" And Elisha, this is what he asks for. He says, "Give me a double portion of your spirit." So let's keep reading and see what happens here. Look at verse 10, and we're going to read through verse 13. And he said, "Elijah, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." And then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. And he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. You see in verse 13, we find that word mantle again. The first time we saw the word mantle, you know, Elijah, he throws his mantle or robe over Elisha, and it symbolized that Elisha was being called by God. He was being appointed by God. This time, the symbolism is different. This time, the mantle symbolizes that Elisha is being anointed with the Spirit. Now, let's be very clear here that Elisha was not anointed with the Spirit of Elijah. All right, Elisha was anointed with the Spirit of God. So, Elisha, he's stepping up. He's been appointed. He's been anointed. And so, again, what does this mean for us? You know, what does this mean for us? Well, you know, remember, each of us, we talked about a few minutes ago that each of us are called to do God's work. All right, each of us is called to share Jesus with lost people. Each of us are called to serve in some type of ministry. Now, let me share a couple of statistics with you. It is estimated that only 2% of Christians ever share Jesus with a lost person. Did you hear that? It's estimated that only 2% of Christians share Jesus with a lost person. Here's another statistic. Again, it's estimated that only about 10 to 20% of church members are involved in the ministry of the church. All right, so only 2% of Christians ever share their faith, and only about 10 to 20% of church members are involved in the ministry of the church. Now, those two statistics indicate that we're not stepping up. Now, those statistics indicate that we're not stepping up to serve the Lord. Why is that? Well, I think there are several factors, but I think one of the big factors is that a lot of times we don't feel up for the task. What if I mess things up? What if I say the wrong thing? What if I do the wrong thing? We just don't feel up for the task. And I want to ask you, do you think Elisha felt up to the task? I mean, do you think this guy felt up to the task? I mean, he's a farmer. He's following the greatest Old Testament prophet. Do you think he felt up for the task? Probably not. Probably not. But Elisha, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And that is all Elisha would ever need to serve the Lord. And I want to remind you today that the same Holy Spirit that anointed Elisha anoints each one of us as believers in Christ. Look at a verse in your sermon notes, and we'll put this verse, these two verses up on the wall as well. 2 Corinthians 1, 20 through 21 says this: Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has seated us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. As a believer in Christ, if you ever feel that you're not up for the task, remember that you have been anointed with God's Holy Spirit, and that is all you will ever need to do the work of God. So, Elisha, he stepped up. He stepped up. He was willing to do God's work. Are we stepping up? Are we stepping up? You know, over the last couple of decades, Superior Avenue Baptist Church has lost some giants in the faith. And we lost another one this past week. Right? Elisha, and he lost a giant in the faith. And he stepped up. Ready to serve God. Will you step up? Will you step up to do God's work? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation, a time of prayer. Before we do, I want to ask you, how is God speaking to your heart this morning? Maybe you're not stepping up like you should to do God's work. And God is convicting you about that this morning. And maybe today you just need to come to this altar and say, hey, God, I'm ready to step up. I'm ready to do your work. I'm ready to do more. Maybe today you need to come make a public rededication of your life. That from, hey, this point forward, and you're going to step up. And you're going to do and you're going to be involved in the Lord's work. How's God speaking to you today? How do you need to respond today? Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for this look into the life of Elisha, how he stepped up to do your work. Father, I pray that we step up. I pray that we do what called, appointed us to do. Father, now as we come to this point of invitation, our desire is for you to move how you want to move. In your Son's name we pray.
Stand, please. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come. just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise
time of worship this morning, and we appreciate Miss Jackie filling in for Brother George today. He's out of town, and it was good to have Colin back on the drums for Sunday while he's home from college. But Miss Jackie's going to come and close our service in song.
Bye.